my nerves and you rattle my brain. Too much love and driving me insane. You broke my will, but what a thrill. Goodness gracious, great for the fire. I had your love, but I thought it was funny. You came along and ruined. I changed my mind, this love is fine. Goodness gracious, great ball. Grazers, great balls of fire!
All right, it's going to wrap up the show here. WFME, three-quarter Monty, Joe Bielak about to sign off. A little set in honor of Richard Perry, one of the all-time legendary producers. Of course, best known for, I guess, Nilsson and Rod Stewart and Carly Simon and, I don't know, Leo Sayer, Sinatra. He just Ringo, produced the Ringo Starr album, the big one. But there was some of his lesser-known stuff. Although I guess the Pointer Sisters were one of his flagship acts. Tiny Tim, another one of his flagship acts. Pretty actually great version of Great Balls of Fire from 1969. Martha Reeves from a self-titled 1974 album that actually it's not from that album. It was a B-side. Why the hell was that left off the album? And the album actually, there's actually some good moments on it. She covers Wild Night by Van Morrison and actually, Martha has a co-write credit on that. I didn't know that she wrote songs, but what an excellent track that is. And yes, the aforementioned Pointer Sisters flagship band when Perry started Planet Records. The Pointer Sisters were his big signing. They had kind of run out of steam, and Bonnie Pointer had left. And then, of course, they had the huge hit with Fire, and that was from the second album they did, Priority, with Richard Perry. And that is one of my early childhood crushes, June Pointer, on lead vocal there. And then the next album, she had her big hit. Anita sang a lot of the first hits, but June sang He's So Shy. But that was before that. Covering the band, The Shape I'm In, what a great version. And their Planet Records label mates the Plimsolls. Not produced by Richard Perry, but he did sign them. And Hush Hush, what a great album that first Plimsolls album is. Before that, another Richard Perry, I guess, nowadays signature band, but not at the time, Fanny. And we heard Place in the Country, Nicky Barclay playing that amazing piano and the great lead vocal. And just, yeah. And then starting off the set was the first album Richard Perry produced. He had produced some singles for Kamasutra, but he produced Safe as Milk, or co-produced, I should say, Captain Beefheart's first band and his Magic Band first album. And we heard Plastic Factory, all here at WFMU. It's going to do it for the show today. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in and hanging out. Happy New Year and all that. We're just in by one day. Under the wire of the Larry David Happy New Year deadline, so we'll say it again. That's going to do. It's WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, New York City, and Rockland County at 91.9 FM. And online at WFMU.org. Jim Price is next.
Thank you, Joe. Friends, I'm here to talk about oil drums. According to Wikipedia, and there are two distinct different areas that you can visit on Wikipedia. One is for the drum that you play musically, that oil drum, and then the oil drum that holds liquids. Now, can you sit in an oil drum? Well, it depends. You can, and if you want to, you can. What is a fluid bag? Well, that's an oil drum that's made of a soft material. Now, here's a trick question. 55 gallons? A 55-gallon drum? Does it hold 55 gallons?
Jim.
What? I'm out of time? Okay. Let me give Scott the chair because it's time for the Scott Williams Show here at WFMU.
Stems are bent and torn, spindle trees wounded and worn. Blue John and Jasper are still to be found, lying red and yellow. Barberry bushes wither, missile thrush and the sparrow shiver. Curlews cry curfew, go hide from the wind. Frost will follow your song as winter. Snow in corries and hollows drifting, lives move slowly and feet are shifting, measuring the rifts for another to sing. With loving the promise of another spring. Crystal cradle of and uncover new shadows the leaves have laid on the land, twisting, twirling to patterns the sun will plan. Return to the calm of sun streams, fold their nests in the arms of hornbeams. Go run with the lizard, go fly with the bee. Summer comes and her magic wanders. Thank you.
Just why it should have happened, or why it should have happened, Jubilee have said. Nor perhaps could it even have occurred to him to ask. The thing was, above all, a secret. Something to be preciously concealed. And to that very fact, it owed an enormous part of its deliciousness.
Deirdre, perhaps you could tell us what the equator is.
The equator is a line that goes around the middle of the Earth.
The Earth is wearing a belt, or a sash, or someone drew a line around it?
No, not that. I mean, well...
Did you forget the word imaginary?
Yes.
It was as if, in some delightful way, his secret gave him a fortress, a wall behind which he could retreat in heavenly seclusion.
Moving up to the Arctic Circle, we again enter a zone of perpetual snow.
All he needed to do was to think of that morning, the first one, and then of all the others. Suddenly, for no reason, he had thought of the postman. He remembered the postman. Perhaps there was nothing so odd in that. After all, he heard the postman almost every morning of his life. His heavy boots could be heard clumping round the corner at the bottom of the little hill street. And then, progressively nearer, progressively louder, the double knock at each door, the crossings and recrossings of the street, until finally the clumsy steps came stumbling across to the very door, and the tremendous knock came which shook the house itself.
These constitute the vast wheat-growing areas in North America and Siberia.
But on that particular morning, the first morning, he had for some reason waited for the postman. But when at last the steps were heard, they had already come round the corner, a little up the hill to the first house. And even so, they were curiously different. And he had understood the situation at once. Nothing could have been simpler. There had been snow in the night, such as all season he had been hoping for. And it was this which had rendered the postman's first steps inaudible, and the later ones faint. And even now it must be snowing, the white ragged lines drifting and sifting, whispering and hushing, seething, getting deeper and deeper, silenter and silenter. This extraordinary surprise had upon him. All the following morning, he had kept with him a sense as of snow falling about him, a secret screen of new snow between himself and the world. If he had not dreamed such a thing, and how could he have dreamed it while awake, how else could one explain it? He could not now remember whether it was on the first or the second morning, or was it even the third, that his mother had drawn attention to some oddness in his manner.
Know the difference between the North Pole and the magnetic pole?
Perhaps it hadn't been even the second or third morning, or even the fourth or fifth. How could he be sure? How could he be sure just when the delicious progress had become clear? Just when it had really begun? All he knew was that at some point or another, perhaps the second day, perhaps the sixth, he had noticed that the presence of the snow was a little more insistent. The sound of it clearer, and conversely, the sound of the postman's steps more indistinct. Not only could he not hear the steps come round the corner, he could not even hear them at the first house. It was above the first house that he heard them. And then, a few days later, above the second. And a few days later, above the third. Gradually, the snow was becoming heavier. The sound of the sea.